And joining us today is Sandra Brown. Sandra is New York Times bestselling author, various books, various novels, and her most recent is called Friction. And we'll talk a little bit about Friction in just a minute, but I want to let you know again that Sandra is the author of 67 New York Times bestsellers, and there are more than 80 million copies of her books in print worldwide, different languages, of course, and her work has been translated into 34 languages. She lives in Texas. For more information, you can visit sandrabrown.net. I want to also say that you can download the free Sandra Brown app, and something that, of course, you know, before we weren't able to do, but there's so many things we can do now on the internet. And Sandra, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louie. It's a pleasure to speak with you again.
Well, thank you. And as I mentioned in the intro, you are a Texan and worked in a newsroom as well, and this is the communication department where we're taping our interview. So tell us a little bit about the story about when you worked at WFAA, is that correct?
I did, the ABC affiliate in Dallas, and I was working on a show called PM Magazine, which goes a long way back, but maybe a few listeners will remember it. And one day they came through and they fired the whole crew and wanted replacements. They said fresh faces. And so I was despondent, of course. It was a part-time job, but nevertheless, it did give me a creative outlet. And it was, at that time, my husband said, well, you've always said you wanted to write. And now you've got time and opportunity to do it. So either do it or shut up talking about it. And so put more or less in the form of a dare, that's when I began writing books. And here I am 30-plus years later talking to you about my new one called Friction.
And who was to know, right, when you wrote that first book, that 67-book letter? Yes. As far as the first book, of course, you remember what it was, but tell us a little bit about how difficult was it once you got that challenge and this opportunity from your husband to say, do whatever you want. Now you can do it.
Well, I wrote for about a year, and then I attended, and I was, you know, dabbling with at different stories. But then I went to a writer's conference, and I met a woman who owns a bookstore in Lufkin, Texas. And she said, I've read everything ever written. When you feel comfortable sending me a manuscript, do so, and I'll tell you whether or not it's any good. I'll give you an honest evaluation. And so I took her up on that a few months later, and she called me, and she said, I know an editor who's looking for exactly this kind of book for a new line of romances. And she said, I'm going to call her and tell her it's coming, so you send her a copy, which I did. And sure enough, the editor bought my first book. And she bought the second book from me 13 days later.
Wow.
So I sold my first two within 13 days. And I was really, at that point, I was off and running. I wrote series romances under several names for about 8 years and then moved more into the mystery, suspense, thriller. And it's been a constantly evolving career, but I love the books that I'm writing now, which I think have been called romantic suspense, and I'll take that. I love that.
Because romance can be suspenseful, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And suspense can be romantic.
There you go.
So it's a really good merging of the two elements because each heightens the other. The danger heightens the romance, and the romance intensifies the level of danger because they become worried not only about themselves but the other person. So it really heightens the intensity of both of those elements.
And in your latest book, Friction, which I just mentioned, it opens up with a Texas Ranger who has been, I guess, for lack of a better word, I guess, demoted to desk work because of his behavior, I guess, hot temper, whatever you want to call it. And then he's in court trying to get custody of his daughter. And from there, things just take off and it goes off in different directions. And the reader thinks something's going to happen, then something else happens. And so you do a very good job of doing that.
Well, thank you, Louie. I work hard at that. I work very hard at building in those plot twists. And then sometimes I'll be writing and I don't see it coming. And I'll think, oh, that is great. That's so much better than what I had thought of. So that's the fun of being a fiction writer, is that sometimes surprises even me. Once the characters kind of take over the story and it begins to unfold on its own, I'm often surprised, but I do build in some turning points that are crucial to the plot. And then I always try to build in that one real big secret that I withhold until, you know, the very, very end. So just when you think you've got it all figured out, you really don't.
You're right about that. Now, it used to be, I guess, if you want to say back in the day, a lot of people say back in the day, but it used to be where women read romances. And if a man said that he was reading a romance novel, people would look at him going, what is wrong with you? But now you're having men and women read romance novels. I mean, I read romance novels, and sometimes people say, I don't read romance novels. And you name the author, and you're going, well, that's a romance novel. And you go, well, no, it's a mystery. It's suspenseful. It's Sandra Brown. And you
they
go,
put,
well,
they want to put another label on
Yes.
I think the market has become where genres are crossed a lot more easily than they at one time were. They're no longer gender specific. They're no longer age specific necessarily. And I love that because for me as a reader, and I think a reader is a reader. A reader is always going to read everything. There are some who have prejudices, say, oh, I wouldn't like that because it's got a vampire on the cover. Well, it may be the best book they've ever read.
Yeah.
They just haven't tried it yet. Or they say, well, I don't want to read that because it's written by a man and I only read women authors. Or it's written by a woman and I only read men authors. Or whatever. And I think that's really limiting because I read everything. I read across the board. My only criterion is tell me a story. And I don't care where it's set, what period it's set in, what the genre label or where they've stocked it in the bookstore under what category. If I'm entertained, that's all I'm seeking. And that's all I do when I set out to write a book. I don't think, oh, this is going to be for men, or this is going to be for women, or this is going to be, you know, more romantic than the last one, or this one's going to be more suspenseful than the last one. I just tell my story that's compelling me to tell it. And then I leave it up to the reader to decide. I hate to hear, readers say, oh, well, I don't want to read that because it's this. And I usually don't like books like that because I think everyone owes it to themselves to at least try something, you know.
Exactly.
And then you may find out, oh, my gosh, where have you been all my life? You know, I love this. How many more books have you written? And the discovery of a new author is just so exciting to me as a reader, as a fan. You know, I'll read a novelist for the first time and go, oh my gosh, I've missed so much. I can't wait to go and read the backlist. And so I'd like for people to discover Sandra Brown and then realize, hey, she's got 75 other books I can read. So that's fun when I hear from people who have just read me for the first time.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Sandra Brown. Sandra is talking about her latest novel, Friction. As you mentioned, the Texas Ranger that we meet, Crawford Hunt, in this book, this novel that you've written, and because of the history of Texas, if you live in Texas, you know about the Texas Rangers and their history, but sometimes people who live outside of Texas still see the Texas Ranger as a guy on a horse with a six-shooter, and, you know, those guys don't exist anymore. Well, yes, they do. And as far as researching all that and bringing it to the reader, did you have to do a lot of intense research as far as finding out about the Texas Rangers and also courts?
Yeah, I did. The Rangers, there was a lot of history online. I did a lot of the research that way. Plus, I have some inside informers, so to speak, of people in law enforcement whom I call on occasionally to provide me with, you know, answers to questions or procedure or things like that. In the case of the judge, she's a lady who's also a Sandra Brown fan, and we're social friends. But I wrote the scenes the way I wanted to write them, the way I wanted to tell the story. And then I called her and I said, okay, here's the scenario. And I, you know, outlined it for her. And I said, now, would this be unethical for a judge to do this? And she paused for a moment, and she said, highly unethical. And I said, oh, no. And she said, oh, write it the way you want to. She said, judges do unethical things all the time. And so I took her at her word, and that's part of the conflict, you know, for my heroine, is that she's caught in a moral dilemma. She's caught between, you know, playing it by the book and doing everything right, or doing what her heart is dictating she do. So that's part of the struggle for her.
And it's interesting also, and, you know, for people who are going or have gone through custody battles, and I'm sorry about that, but you paint or write about a very intense picture there with Crawford and his father-in-law, Joe.
Yeah. There had to be more than one antagonist after Crawford. And his father-in-law certainly is one, again, a man who feels as though he's justified in his antagonism, the villain. And then I think about the biggest foe that Crawford comes up against is his own guilt, his own conscience, because he still feels responsible, you know, for things that have gone so wrong in his life. He takes his responsibilities very hard. And so he's struggling against his guilt and the conscience that you know, keeps making its voice loud and clear. And so I think that's the most interesting kind of book, when the protagonist is not only confronted with an insurmountable foe, but also with something within themselves that they have to overcome.
And one of the things that you also wrote in your book, and I think it makes it very timely, very topical as well, is you even mentioned, you know, Mexican drug cartels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very timely. Tragically so. And I felt like that was going to set him up as the kind of, it takes him back to like the Wild and Woolly days. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was kind of like on that day where he had, you know, the showdown, it was really, it almost took you back in time to the frontier. And the truth of the matter is that it is still the frontier.
Yes.
So, yeah, I wanted to bring that out in the book.
That's interesting as you mentioned that, because if you want to come to Texas and you want to live the old days, well, we still have them. And there's a lot of land here in Texas that people can explore about our history and everything else. I think also as far as, and I'm wondering about the listener, what they feel, because when I read your book and, you know, I was introduced to Crawford Hunt and I get this impression, and are introduced to the judge, I get another impression. But then as the book and the story gets deeper, all of a sudden, my view of the protagonist changes a little bit and go, wait a minute. No, I think he looks like this. No, I think he maybe looks like that. And I think it's fun probably thinking about, you know, what the other readers are imagining when they're discussing the book with perhaps members of their book club.
Yeah, I get suggestions all the time, you know, for if they make a movie of it, who do you see playing so-and-so, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the readers definitely do get, they create their own mental image. But for me, my characters are so real, they look like themselves. They don't look like anybody else.
That's a good point.
Hard for me to envision, you know, when they'll say, who do you see playing? And I'll go, I hadn't really thought about it. Because when I sit down to write the character, I don't pick an actor and say, okay, this is Crawford. Crawford is himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sandra, thank you very much for being with us, and we appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Well, Louis, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We've been visiting with New York Times bestselling author Sandra Brown. Her latest novel is called Friction. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Eddie Rosales. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.